Zach, you are officially my hype man. You are. Anything I do around here, I need you to go first, okay? Yeah, exciting stuff happening around here. That when I heard the story of what happened at Northtown this week, I was like, this is what it's about. Your generosity, giving to the local church and the work that God is doing is fueling generosity in other places. And also, what was really cool, we were talking about it this morning, it's actually the community we serve, a large portion of them are widows. It was a widow who gave the exact amount of money to our orphanage. Wow. How cool is that, right? So anyway, really neat story. Thanks for sharing that. For years, I had this recurring knot in my back. Physically, like it would come and go all the time. And at times it would be so unbearable that I would have to take loads of ibuprofen. I'd have to stretch. I'd have to lay down for hours on end. And it actually began in my mid 20s, which is not really when you're supposed to be having those sort of ailments, I don't think. But at the time I was leading worship on Sundays like Justin did this morning, which by the way, Justin, wow. Okay. So, And I was leading worship for, you know, and the church I was a part of, we did three services on a Sunday. And so I was on my feet a lot on a Sunday morning from like 6 a.m. until like 1 p.m. And I would get home and I would just be like a wreck. I couldn't, like my back hurt so bad. And I couldn't figure it out. I would go to the masseuses. I would, you know, I went to the doctor. I was like, what am I going to do? And it became so bad that I was like desperate. And so not sure my best options, my wife finally suggested that I go see a chiropractor. Now, where I grew up, chiropractors were considered quacks, right? And if you're a chiropractor, no offense, I'm just saying that's what they were considered, at least in the home that I grew up in. They were not real doctors. Right? They didn't really help anybody. And again, I'm not saying those things are true. I'm just saying that's what I knew of chiropractors. Kristen, on the other hand, had been to chiropractors since she was very young. She was a competitive gymnast. She went to chiropractors all the time. And she had experienced its benefits and made the suggestion, hey, maybe this might be a nice next step for you to figure out what's going on with your back. And so after some hesitation, I finally agreed to go. And I was desperate. I really was. Every Sunday was a grind for me and nothing was helping. I just wanted some relief. So during my first visit, the chiropractor did a consultation with me and she asked what I wanted to accomplish. And I quickly told her about the recurring knot in my back. Then she asked me to do a bunch of things, like, you know, raise my hands and touch my toes and twist this way. And I'm just sort of rolling my eyes, right? Like, oh, what are we doing? Like, what is this? How is this going to help anything? And then she asked me a question I was definitely not prepared to hear. She asked me, did you ever hurt your ribs on your right side? Now, my jaw must have dropped because, well, it's the only real major injury I've ever had in my life. When I was 17 years old, I was playing in the state tournament for my hockey team at the time. And in the semifinal game, I was checked into the boards and the boards came up right here and cracked three of my ribs. I don't think I've screamed that loud ever in my life. I'm not even sure what I came out of my mouth, but I'm sure it's not worth repeating. So I told her, I said, yeah, I broke three ribs when I was in high school when I was like 17. Now this is maybe 10 years later. And for the next several weeks, she would help me. But I remember in that moment, she looked at me and she said, okay, I think I can help you. And so for the next several weeks, I would show up there and she would treat my ribs and my spine. And within a couple of months, I'm not kidding, all of my pain in my back was gone. Now come to find out, scar tissue had built up on my rib cage from the injury. It hadn't healed quite properly. And as a result, it was causing my ribs to pull on my spine on that right-hand side. And when I would stand for long periods of time, the muscles in my back would have to compensate for it. And eventually they would cramp up so bad, it would become unbearable. So she was able to get rid of most of the scar tissue in my ribs. And before I knew it, the pain was gone. And to this day, I've never had a recurrence of that knot in my back. So this is not an advocation for chiropractors, although I believe in them now. I do. But I learned something in that moment, that the body is a mysterious thing. Complex, it's a complex organism connected by billions of cells and neurons and nerves and muscles and tendons and bones that are all working together to make sure that we are able to carry out some of the most basic tasks, like standing for a long period of time. Now, it's astounding how interconnected the body really is, and how it is constantly working collectively to enable human life to exist. The brain alone is doing so much at any one given time, our brains can hardly comprehend it. As a result, what we found is that when one part of the body stops working or is broken, we know that it doesn't just affect that part of the body, but it affects the whole. You could have a pinched nerve in your shoulder and feel it in your hand. You could have poor circulation and feel it and experience it in your toes. You could have scar tissue on your rib cage and feel it in your back. Because it's all connected, right? It's all connected. It's interdependent on itself. Now, as Zach mentioned earlier, we're in this series called Fully Alive. And in this series, we're looking at what it looks like for us to be fully alive in Jesus Christ. That's what we want to be as followers of Jesus. We don't want to do a half measure of what Jesus calls the fullness of life. We want to experience that at its fullness. A church father once said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." That when we are fully alive in this life, it actually brings glory to our Creator. And when we're not fully alive in this life, it doesn't. And so our goal as followers of Jesus is to be fully alive. And God's absolute desire is that we are people who are fully alive in our lives. But to do that, we're learning that there are some things that need to be true of us. Last week, as Zach mentioned, we talked about that we got to be here together on a Sunday morning. If we want to experience the fullness of life that Jesus talks about, we got to gather. We got to hear God's word preached. We got to worship together. We got to talk to one another. We have to see each other eye to eye. And there are other aspects we're going to cover in the next coming weeks too, including today, which is one of those things that allows us to become fully alive in life. And that is to become people who serve selflessly. Yet Jesus once said in Mark chapter 10, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Not really the message we hear every day. He goes on, "For even the Son of Man," a reference to himself, by the way, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So today, this morning, we're going to look at why serving selflessly is so critical to experiencing the fullness of life Jesus promises in John chapter 10, and how you can begin to experience that fullness of life right here at this local church. So if you haven't done so yet, open up the Bible app and you can follow along with everything I'm gonna read here. Just go to More and Events and find Genesis Church and you'll be able to follow along with everything I'm gonna cover this morning. And we're gonna begin in Romans chapter 12. And Paul, in this chapter, is advocating for the church to live to its full potential. He's covered a lot of ground in the book of Romans, and now he's like, listen, I want you, the church, individually and collectively, to live up to your full potential in the world. He, like God, wants every person who follows Jesus and belongs to the church community to be fully alive in Christ. No half measures. But he knows that in order for that to become true of us, some things must be true of every person who calls Jesus Lord and Savior. And this is one of the things that he addresses in Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 4, Paul writes, "Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So Paul actually uses the metaphor of the body for the church at a couple of different places throughout the scriptures, including Romans chapter 12. Now, unlike us, Paul actually has a very limited knowledge of how the body actually works. Right, like you could Google things like, how does the brain work? And you could get all sorts of scientific data. Paul didn't have that luxury. He just knew when I move my arm, things happen, right? The scientific world in the first century was pretty minimal. There was very little understanding of the human body. And yet, even still, he knows that the body, the human body, was a great metaphor for better understanding how the church ought to work in the world. And he says that like the human body, the church community is intricately connected to itself, and that each member of it is vital to the health of the whole because each member has something to offer the body that is needed for it to function properly and in a healthy manner. And Paul even says, we are parts of one body and we all belong to each other. We're a part of this unified body, but we belong to each other, that we are interconnected in this church. And then he lists various ways this actually occurs in real time and space. We're given different gifts and abilities to allow the body to function properly in the church. And he says some people have the ability to prophesy or speak truth, and some have the gift of evangelism, and some have the gift of helping others, and some have the gift of giving, and some have the gift of leading, and some have the gift of showing compassion. And this is not an exhaustive list. It's just an example of some of the things. He's just giving those examples to say, where do you fit within this body? Because here's what Paul is saying, and he's saying to us, and Jesus says it too, that the body needs every body. The body of Christ needs everybody, right? And like, you are important. You have value. You have something to offer that no one else in this room or in this church can. Your value. And Paul is saying, look, if you are a member of the body of Christ, we need you. The church needs you. The body needs you. The truth is this: you can't function at full capacity, and the church can't function at full capacity unless you are serving selflessly. It is a truth that is hardwired into what it means to follow Jesus. And you know, Paul wouldn't be the only one that would talk about this. In fact, his colleague, Peter, would talk about it as well. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In short, if you are a follower of Jesus, you've been given a gift. You might have been given gifts, plural, that will help you and the church become more fully alive. And contrary to what we have been taught, it is actually through serving selflessly inside and outside the church that enables us to become fully alive. It's part of the recipe that God has created. You know, so much of what we are told in this life is that life is lived to the full when we just simply serve ourselves. If I can just take care of myself, then I'll experience the fullness of life. Or even better, if I could just have other people serve me, then I'll experience the fullness of life. But have you ever been around a person who expects to be served all the time? Would you say that they are living a fully alive life? No, they're miserable. And they're miserable to be around too. You see, this is not how God ever intended it to be. We were never created to simply serve ourselves or pursue a life where we are constantly served by others. It's not how God set it up. It's not how God hardwired it. You know, in Genesis, the very beginning, God creates Adam. And he says to Adam, you know what? It's not good for you to be alone. And this is partially because humans, we need to be connected to one another. And in a few weeks, we're going to talk about that. We need community. But it's also because God, in and of himself, is a serving God. And since we've been created in his image, it only makes sense that we have other people in our lives whereby we can serve. So he creates Eve, and the two of them are commissioned to serve each other as they tend to the Garden of Eden. Now, of course, the story quickly goes south, right? It doesn't take long. And now, because of sin, we're no longer bent to serve one another, but instead demand service from others. And we've got to combat that. And so Jesus desires to course correct us by establishing a community, a body of people who will choose not to be served, but a community of people that will say, no, we will be people who selflessly serve others because they know that the body needs everybody. They know that. We are called to be a community of people that get this. And you know, the reality is, not everybody in this room gets this. I know that because I know you. He wants to create a community of people who understand what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. Or Paul writes, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. In other words, if the rib cage isn't functioning like it's supposed to, the back and the spine are gonna have to suffer. But if it's all functioning properly, the body can accomplish far more, immeasurably more than they might ever imagine. And so if you call Genesis home, you're part of a body, a living organism, interconnected, intricately connected to one another. You're part of a living organism called the local church. And the local church can only function properly when every individual who follows Jesus is fully alive and serving selflessly. It's the only way it happens. If even one person chooses not to do that, they and the church suffer. Both the individual and the community, the body of Jesus, suffer. But when every person who is part of the church decides to serve selflessly, the church is honored, Paul says, and its mission is accomplished in the world. Yeah, our mission is to become a community of changed lives, changing lives, which I think of that story in the North Town, like that's it. That's what it is. But to do this, we want to be people who are following Jesus and we're connecting with others. We're investing in the next generation. We're making an impact in the world. But, you know, none of that can happen unless everybody in this church, everybody a part of this body, commits to being fully alive in Christ by serving selflessly. If we don't do that collectively, we will limp along in the mission that God has given us. Now, I know that many of you sitting in the chairs right now are already living into this in incredible ways. And I want you to know this, I see you. I see you. I see the way in which God is using you, how you're bringing life to this local body. And I also see the way in which it allows you to be fully alive in your life. And so many of you could come up here one after another and say, this is absolutely true in my life. When I decided to start serving selflessly, God did a good work in me and God started doing a good work in the church. But I also know that this is an area of weakness for some of you. You're sitting in the sidelines, hoping someone else will do it. You're not using your gifts to serve others in the church. You're questioning yourself. You're second guessing all of it. And I'm telling you, not only is the church suffering, but so are you. You will never experience the fullness of life in Christ until you begin to serve in the local church. The church needs you, and you need the church, because the body needs everybody. The church needs you. We need your gifts. We need your ability. There are things you can do that I can't. that Justin can't, that the 100 other people sitting in these chairs can't. We need your willingness to get your hands dirty and help out. I know we're not asking you to be here every week for 10 hours a week. That's not what we're talking about. And if you're on the sidelines right now, we're going to ask you to take a simple step this morning. And so I am calling everyone in this room to an action this morning. Right? Whether you've been serving at Genesis for decades or you've never helped out in any measurable way, I want today to be a day where we will take a step deeper into what it means to be fully alive through serving selflessly. So on your chairs, you came in, there was a little card. It's pretty obvious what we're asking you to do if you haven't read it yet. And I want you to grab that card right now if you haven't done so. Just grab it. And I just want to explain what this is. This is a call to action for all of us. Whether we've been serving, again, for years or if we've never done any of this, we're calling you to action. So on that card, there's the first box says, I'm ready to try a first serve. We've talked about this before, but if you've yet to serve on any volunteer team, this is your first step. We just want you to try something out. It's a starting point for you to get in the game and to begin to contribute to the health of our church and to the health of your faith. Trying a first serve is simple. We will, if you check that box, you write your name in it, we will follow up with you this week and we will connect you with some place that intrigues you where you feel like you can use your gifts and you're just gonna try it out. There's no commitment at this point. You're just gonna show up on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever it's happening and you're gonna go, okay, what is this all about? And then after that first serve, we're gonna follow up with you and if you feel like, hey, I wanna give this a shot, then we're gonna give you a 3-month trial. Just try it for 3 months and see how it goes. And we'll take you from there. So if you're not serving in any real capacity right now, this is your first step. I want you to write your name and email or whatever on there, check that box, and then you could just drop them in the boxes on your way out, the giving boxes. You could drop it at the Welcome Center, whatever. The second box on that list is for those of you who are serving maybe in an area, but are ready to try something new or something in addition to that. You know, numerous people at our church serve in multiple areas. Like I'm thinking of Zach this morning. Zach, he serves at AMP, but he also serves on our worship team. He serves by showing up here early to help with our host moment. There are numerous people that serve in a variety of ways using the many gifts that they have. If you're like, yeah, I like being on the host team. I show up on Sunday, but I'd like to try something else as well. I'd like to expand how I'm serving here. I want to dig more deeply into this. Check that box. We will follow up with you. We'll talk with you. We'll figure out, okay, what might be a good place for you to land. And then the final box is for those of you who are ready to grow in your service to the church, to really lean into this. Now, this is a step towards or into what we would say some level of leadership. Now, not necessarily on our leadership team, but some level of leadership where you're not just gonna come and serve, but you're actually gonna help take some responsibility, take some ownership of what is happening in the variety of ministries that you may or may not serve in. It's my sincere hope that all of us collectively will take some small step towards serving selflessly, not only for the good of our church, but for the good of your soul. And so this morning, I just want you to take some time to think about that. I want you to fill that card out. Like I said, you can drop it in one of the giving boxes. You can drop it at the Welcome Center. And we are praying that God does something miraculous in and through this church because of the willingness of the people of Genesis to say, I want to be fully alive and I want this church to be fully alive. And I know that this body needs my body, so I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve. So take your time with it. And as you do that, I want to just tell you a little something that's going on in our church right now. Last week, we had 32 kids at our kids' ministry. 32 kids. Now, normally, we have historically had somewhere between 20 and 25. Our kids' ministry is sort of expanding right now. We're talking about which rooms are we going to expand into? How are we going to make this happen? It is so cool to hear the stories that are coming out of that kids' ministry right now. And we need help. We need people that'll go, I love kids. I'll go back there and hang out with them. We will train you. We will teach you. We will save you if they attack you. We will do everything in our power to make sure that you feel equipped to lead those kids to know more about Jesus. And all we're asking you to do is give it a shot. I guarantee if you give it a shot and you go back and you hang out with our third through fifth graders, you're never going to want to go back. You'll probably never want to listen to me talk again. You'd be like, I'm just going to hang here with these kids. Just give it a shot. We need your help because that number's not going down anytime soon. We need help. That's just one example of not only what God is doing in our church, but you can see if we, the church, the body of Christ, if we don't lean into that, if we don't say, look, I'm going to serve selflessly, what is going to happen to the next generation? What's going to happen to those kids or those teenagers if we have a bunch of people standing on the sidelines saying, nah, you know what, somebody else do it. But this is for the good, not only of the church now, but for the future of our church as well. So fill out that card, please. We'll follow up with you tomorrow. We will make sure that you get connected. We will train you. There's nothing to fear in this. We will walk with you through it. Now, let me leave you with this. If you are in a position where you're thinking to yourself, you don't really need me. I don't have anything to offer. Please know that is a lie from Satan himself. You have value, you are incredibly important to this body of Christ, this local body of Jesus. We do need you, and you have an incredible amount to offer. And without it, we will suffer, and so will you. Will you take this really important step this morning? Will you give consideration to what might be next for you? Let's pray. Lord, this is such a critical aspect of what it means to follow you, to love you, to be part of the church that you are here and that we are here doing. And I just pray that you would fill us with new life. Lord, that you would bring us closer to you through the service that we lean into. I pray that you would challenge us. And I know, Lord, there is an opportunity for everyone in this room. Lord, that you would extinguish any doubt or questions, or if we feel like we bring no value, God, that you would course correct that, that we would hear the truth that no, you have given us many gifts to contribute to the body of Christ right here at Genesis. Ultimately, I thank you for Jesus, who didn't just ask us to do this, didn't just say, you need to go do this, but instead he came to earth and he put it on display for us. No one in the history of mankind has ever served as selflessly as Jesus. That he would leave his throne in heaven and be humbled into the human form to walk in this earth in our shoes, to give of his own life that we might experience new life and the fullness of life. Lord, we desire to follow him, to become fully alive in him. And we are grateful that he didn't just ask us to do this, but he actually did it himself first. And so we follow his example. May you do a good and mighty work in our church and in our souls and in our hearts as we more deeply look at what it means to serve selflessly here at Genesis. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.